Did you ever want to take a referral source to lunch or dinner, but not sure what to talk about when you did? Or did you ever have this happen? Did you ever have a referral source stop sending you referrals, and you weren't sure why?
That was Mark Powers, and I'm Sean McNallis, co-founders of Atticus. And we're here to talk about a powerful strategic conversation that we call the interview. It's asset number 8 in your Rainmakers program Quick Start Kit, and all the information that you need can be found behind tab number 8 in the kit. The formula for conducting the interview is there, and if you have the book handy, open it up and follow along. If you don't have the book, don't worry, we'll explain the formula in detail. But first, Mark, can you tell us a little bit more about this asset called the interview process?
I can, Sean. Sean, I think that all of you listening to this segment, you want to recognize that sometimes it's very difficult to develop our network of referral sources if we don't have things to talk about. And we have 3 strategic conversations that we talk about in this program. One is the laser talk, which is asset number 4. We have marketing stories, which are asset number 5. And we have the interview, which is this particular asset, asset number 8. And so out of these strategic conversations, they give us tools to help develop rapport, help learn more about the client, help educate them about what we do. So on this call, what we're going to discuss is how to use this strategic conversation as part of one's word-of-mouth referral marketing program. And we're going to focus on a simple technique for turning a normal conversation, everyday conversation, into a strategic conversation, asking questions, and doing what I like to think of as a mini focus group with them. So we're going to be asking the right questions of the right referral sources in a way that uses this powerful tool to gather information about them, build rapport, and generate referrals.
So, Mark, what do you want the listeners to come away with after this discussion?
Well, we want them to come away with another tool, another asset that they can capture, and a way of interviewing their referral sources that can be surprisingly fruitful, not only with the information we collect, but also to deepen the relationship. In client development, it's usually the depth of that relationship that translates into rapport, which is knowing them better, that they like you better, that they trust you more. And all of this translates into more satisfied referral sources, more referrals, and more satisfied clients. So I think that the other thing I would say about this, that in addition to collecting this information, building this rapport, the final part of this is that you're out in front of the client one more time, or you're out in front of the referral source one more time, and that adds to top-of-mind awareness.
Top-of-mind awareness is always a very good thing when you're dealing with referral sources. But tell us, how does a Rainmaker claim this officially as an asset that they've acquired?
Well, to claim it, they're going to have worked through a script. So they want to have a script for themselves. And then they want to have interviewed at least 10 referral sources. So they want to go through this formula, this process, with 10 people. If they do that, they can claim this as an asset.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about this formula you're referring to?
Yeah, and there is a formula for doing it. But let me say this, Sean. Before I do the formula, there's 2 elements, I would say, to the interview process. On one hand, there's collecting information, so collecting personal information that allows me to know more about them and build my relationship over time. So as I'm speaking and listening to people, and I want you to imagine that I'm at lunch or breakfast or a sporting event, we're discussing things, I might be collecting information and listening to their hobbies, what they like to do, what they like to drink, what they like to read. I might be asking questions that invoke those sort of those kind of answers. I might listen for their name of their spouse, the name of their children. And I'm making mental notes of that, because when I leave this conversation, I want to be able to either record that, write it down, and then when I get home or back to my office, I want to make sure I give it to my marketing assistant or enter it myself. Because the next time I talk to them, I want to be able to have information that allows me to build relationship and rapport very quickly. So I can say things that, you know, when I last saw you, you and Faith, your wife, and I'm not saying your wife to him or the referral source, but you and Faith were going to go skiing. Did you take Amber with you, Amber being the daughter? And the referral source is not going to say, wow, how did you remember all of that? They're just going to be impressed on a subconscious level that you remembered those things. And I don't have the best memory for doing all of this, Sean, but I have a system. And so I make sure I put it into my database or my contact management software, which is asset number two. So again, I want to remind everyone that these assets are all connected. They're all intertwined. But as we go out and we're interviewing people, we're collecting this information and we're putting it into the database.
Okay, great.
So that's the first element, John. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
The second element is actually conducting the interview. And I would say that I'm going to list out the formula for people so they can do this. And the first part of the formula is, and I would write this down if you're in a place you could write it down, is to first powerfully invite your referral source to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or some event, because that's where we're going to do the interview. And the second part of the formula is to acknowledge them. And what I mean acknowledge them is let them, and I'll give a mock-up on this in a moment. We can do a mock-up, Sean. But acknowledge them about something we like, admire, or respect about them. And few of us are really getting that many acknowledgments during the day. And acknowledgments help to deepen the relationship. The third part of the formula is state the purpose. Why am I here? Why are we sitting down having this conversation? And the fourth part is to actually do the interview, ask the questions. And when we do the mock-up, I'm going to give you a series of questions that you might ask, and there's some in your Quick Start kit as well. And then the next part of this interview formula is to listen and learn. We want to make sure that we're spending the vast majority of this conversation listening. And I think that most people listening to this segment get it, that rapport is built through listening. I know if anyone's familiar with Peter Drucker, he's a famous business author and guru, and he says, my greatest strength as a consultant is to be ignorant and ask a few good questions. And that's really what the interview process is. Ask questions, learn. And then the final part is to acknowledge, is once again close the interview with an acknowledgement of them. So, Sean, perhaps we could do a mock-up and you could be the client.
Okay.
So I want everyone to imagine that Sean and I already have a relationship. So we already have a business relationship. And by the way, when you start doing these interviews, I don't want you to go doing cold interviews, people you don't know. I want you to take your warmest relationships, your warmest referral sources, those people that you have close relationships with, and test it out on them. So you warm up on them until you get good at it. And so let's imagine that Sean and I have a business relationship, and I've invited her out to a lunch. And I might have said something like this on the phone to her. Sean, I just have been doing a seminar with a marketing coach, and they asked me to interview some of the people that I respect and that I admire. And one of the people I thought of immediately was you. And I wanted to know if we could go to lunch. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what you've been doing to build your practice, and I want to get some feedback on my practice.
Okay, sure. When do you want to do it?
So let's imagine that Sean and I have that basic conversation. We find a time to talk, and now we're at lunch. And maybe there's a little chit-chat that goes on, some relationship building. But somewhere in the opening of the conversation, I want to go to part two, and I want to acknowledge Sean. And I want to say something like this. Sean, one of the things I've respected about you is I've always respected the way that you have built your practice and the way that you have taken care of your clients. And you're one of the persons that I wanted to interview and talk to and find out some of the things that I could do better to build my practice and how I could take care of my clients better.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is just ask you a couple of questions if you're okay with that.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So that was a combination. I'm stepping out of the interview back just out of role
out of the
play
role
for a second. Yeah. Just to have you know, is that was a combination of things. If you heard it, there was an acknowledgement there that I respected the way Shawn has built her practice. I've admired the way she's taken care of her clients. I've always liked Shawn. Those are things that help build rapport. Now, a critical element of this is they have to be authentic. You can't just make them up or be insincere. And the truth is, it's hard to find somebody in your network that you can't find something that you like, respect, or admire about them. And I want you to put that into the conversation. It's very powerful, especially when it's authentic and sincere. So I've acknowledged them. I've stated the purpose. And I said the purpose is I wanted to gather some information so I could do better at taking care of my clients and building my practice. So we've stated the purpose. So, Shawn, here are my questions. So for the listeners on this call, I'm about to do the interview portion of this. Shawn, I'm curious. You have sent referrals to attorneys around town for a while. In dealing with attorneys, I'm curious, what's the thing that frustrates you the most?
They are, in some cases, too expensive. They can take too long to return phone calls, and I find them just generally not that accessible.
So, again, I'm going to step out of the role play. You'll hear a lot of different things, people. There's no end of the complaints that people have about attorneys in general, and you want to encourage that. And I don't mean attorney bashing, but I actually, and this is going to be interesting, I actually am encouraging you to find complaints on this. And so what I want you to do in the listening mode, and something we call active listening, is I want you to mirror back what the person said. So I'm going to step back into character here, and I'm going to talk to Shawn. So, Shawn, what I heard you say is that when you're dealing with attorneys from around town, you found them often to be too expensive. You found them that they're not returning their phone calls in a timely manner. And there was a third thing. What did you say?
I find them to be just generally not that accessible.
So they're not very accessible. Okay, very good. Now, I know that you have sent referrals to all of these people. And have you had frustrations when you've sent a referral to any particular attorney in town?
I have.
Like what?
You know, pretty much just what I said. The mostly not being accessible is the biggest problem.
So you've sent a referral to some attorney in town. Because I know, and I appreciate you send me business, but you sent it to other people. But you've sent the business to them, and they just haven't been accessible to you or the client?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Okay, good. Now, this conversation, I'm going to step out of character again. This conversation might evolve as you're talking. They may even give you examples of people. I don't want you to get hung up. I don't want you to get... I don't want you to get, for lack of a better word, sucked in or plugged into the conversation. I want you to let it go and keep returning to mirroring the conversation to them, because this allows you to listen without having to defend or talk. And the next question I'm going to ask Shawn is going to be tricky for you, because it's going to take a big gulp on your part, because you're going to want to get defensive. And to do this process, this interview well, you really have to avoid getting defensive. And you take a big swallow when they say something negative, and I want you to return to mirroring the conversation.
Okay.
So, Shawn, let me ask you another question. You've sent referrals to me, and I appreciate that. I've always appreciated the business you've sent me. I'm curious. Have you had any frustrations when you've sent business to me in the past?
Well, not me so much. No, I haven't.
So So this is what you're going to hear, by the way. So if you're those of you that are listening to the segment, when you ask this of your referral source, you're going to say, have you sent a referral to me? And have you, I know you've sent referrals to me, but have you ever been frustrated? Their immediate answer is no. You're great. You're the best. There's nothing wrong with what you do. Don't believe them. They're not telling you the truth. They have a frustration. They just haven't told you it. Your job in this interview is very crucial here. It's to dig in here, and it's the hardest part of the interview, is to dig in and find out what that frustration is. Because if they can tell you what that frustration is, it opens up the relationship to another level, to a new level. And what I mean by that is they're not telling you and they're not telling other referral sources the things they don't like. And when they get fed up with the things they don't like, they just stop sending referrals and they don't say anything. If I can get them to tell me what they don't like, then it's something they're telling me that they're not telling everyone else, and it's a level of intimacy. And it's a level of intimacy that builds rapport and relationship and develops referrals. So you're doing the interview and you ask that question, do you have any frustrations when you've sent me referrals? And they say, no, you're the best. You say, thank you. That's great. Now, I want you to imagine that you could have something. I want you to imagine that you had something that could be frustrating to you. What do you think it would be? So let me ask Sean. Sean, what do you think? I appreciate that. It was very kind of you and sweet. But if you could make up something, if you did have something, what would you say it would be?
Well, it's nothing for me personally, but I will say that one of the clients that I sent to you a while back said that they called your office and they didn't get a return call for 2 days. And it seems like people in your office are not very prompt in returning phone calls. So it's not me. I haven't experienced that, but my client told me this.
So, all right, I'm going to step out of character again. I want you to get this. If you can hear this, and the things you're going to hear are going to be harsher than this. They're going to say, I sent you a referral, and you never got back to me. You never thanked me. Nobody ever told me what happened. I sent you a referral, and they called your office. They didn't get a return phone call for 2 days. It's going to be, if you can fire them up, it's going to be a much more direct attack than Sean's doing. Sean's being very nice here. So your immediate reaction is going to want to defend, and you're going to say, oh, I remember when that happened. We were in a trial, or we had a closing, or we had these issues to deal with. Whatever the thing that you're dealing with, the excuse that you have is let it go. It doesn't matter. What you want to do is just mirror, listen, and get back to them. So, Sean, it wasn't you, but one of your clients called our office, and we didn't get back to we didn't get back to them right away. That got back to you, and I imagine that was pretty disappointing for you or frustrating.
It was, actually. I was surprised. I hadn't experienced that with your office myself. I was sorry that it happened with my client.
I'm sorry, too, and one of the things that I'm going to do, Sean, is I'm going to use this interview. And let me say this first. Thank you. I really appreciate you and your willingness to tell me that, because I know that you and I are friends and you don't want to tell me that. I appreciate it because it's going to help me take care of my referral sources better and take care of my clients better. And that's exactly why I wanted to talk to you. I knew you'd be straight with me. So thank you. I truly appreciate your openness and your honesty. I appreciate your trust and confidence in me. So that's the acknowledgement in this conversation. So I went through, we invited the referral source out. We did an acknowledgement, something we like, admire, respect. We stated the purpose. We're here. I want to find out more about how to take better care of my clients. You're somebody I respect. We ask questions. Now, in your Quick Start Kit, there should be some additional questions, but they're really questions around frustrations, concerns, those sort of things. Then we're listening, which is the most important part of the interview in my mind, is listening and acknowledging back what their frustrations were. And then we acknowledge them once again. And we acknowledge them specifically for the things they did along the way.
And I noticed you started out globally. What are your concerns and frustrations with attorneys in general? You sort of started with the whole group in general, and then you kind of drilled down to me in particular, or in this case, you in particular.
Right. And I'd want to do that because I really wanted to build up to it. I didn't want to go right to the hardest question, which for all of us is about our own practice.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And let me ask you another question, because I know some of my clients aren't very good at announcing their intentions to do an interview up front. They kind of like to launch into it when they get involved in a conversation with the person, so they might just invite them out to lunch and not really say, hey, I want to do an interview with them, you know, with you up front. So if they don't announce it up front, how do they work it into the conversation, you know, without sounding odd?
Well, a couple of things. I think the normal for part of a conversation for all of us when we're going out to lunch with our referral sources and we're taking our clients who I'm categorizing as a referral source at this point, is we actually use the first part of the conversation to catch up with them, chat casually. But as we become great rainmakers and become masterful at this, we're actually listening for more than just idle chat. We're listening for, even in this part of the conversation, we're listening for their hobbies, their interests, the things they like to do, their spouses, that sort of stuff. Because that information is intelligence that helps us develop and build rapport over time. So I would do that, Sean. Catch up with them is fine. Make sure that the information that whatever we're talking about is relevant and go from there.
And about how long do you do that?
You know, obviously, for all of us, it's different, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. When you feel comfortable, you might have a conversation. There are a couple of things you could say. You know, now that, you know, we've had a chance to catch up, I'd like to ask for your feedback. You know, I've been working on my practice for a while. I'm committed to making it better, taking better care of my clients, take better care of my referral sources, improve the level of service I provide. And the best way, at least I know how to do that, is to ask those people that I respect, admire, for their input, their feedback. And that's really what I'd like to do, is just get a couple of questions from you. You know, a couple of rainmakers will also use the Rainmaker program as part of their launching into that, as albeit an excuse for having the interview. And they'll say things like, I'm in this program where we're learning how to take better care of referrals and to be a better client developer. And one of the things they asked me to do is find people that I like, respect, and get their feedback about what they're doing and how I might improve myself. And you're one of the first people I thought of. So that's another way to do it, Sean.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. We've talked about how to open it up and how to conduct the interview. How do you end the interview gracefully?
Well, it's an interesting thing. You did the acknowledgement, which is good. And at the end of the conversation, if you receive mostly positive feedback, which you will, and as I said, I want complaints. I actually want the referral source to complain. There's a couple of things I could do to bridge this conversation. So I would acknowledge them. And then I let them know that I'm going to go back. So let me go back into the script and do a bridge conversation here. And there's a couple of different ways. And these are a little bit of a mastery level. So, you know, if you've ever watched good pool players, billiard players, one of the things that they're known for is not shooting the ball, well, let me rephrase that properly, is they're looking at the next shot. As they're hitting the current shot, they're thinking about the next one, and where do they leave the cue ball? And so the interview at a mastery level is that as well. And so I have a couple of bridges that let me set up the next shot. And so in the mock-up that you and I did, Sean, I said something like, you know, I truly appreciate and respect that you've taken the time to do this, that you have come down, given me honest, straight feedback. That's why I interviewed you, Sean, because I knew you would. And I'm going to go back, and I'm going to work on my practice. And I've got a request for you, Sean. In the next couple of weeks, the next month or so, I want you to send me a referral. And I want you to see how we deal with that referral. And then what I'm going to do in a month or two or three, I'm going to invite you out to another lunch or breakfast. I want to take you to lunch. first out of just to appreciate what you've done here, and I want to see if you see any changes, if you see any improvements, or you see any increase in the way we take care of the referral source. Excuse me, the client.
Well, at the beginning of this discussion, you mentioned something about a referral source who just fades away and stops sending business. Is this what you mean about, you know, turning somebody around that, you know, has what used to be a good referral source and now is not sending as much?
Well, you can almost do it for anyone, you know, because what I like about it, you're right about that, first off, that if someone hasn't been sending referrals, it's a way to get them moving again. But even if they have, I say, listen, let's send the next referral, let's do it, and then let's go to lunch or breakfast again. What I've done here is not only have we acknowledged them, not only have we got their feedback and showed them that they're important to us by listening to them, but we've set up the next shot, which is either a referral or another time that we can get together. And it's another marketing contact. And every time I'm in front of them, it's another marketing contact, which builds the top-of-mind awareness, deepens the rapport, deepens the relationships, and increases the probability of a referral source. So I think those are important things to do, and that's not for everyone. I think mostly you just do the basic interview script we talked about in the beginning of this conversation. But as you get more confident, I want you to start bridging to a next meeting or a next referral. And there's one other bridge, Sean. Let me just put in one more bridge, third bridge. And that is to additional referral sources. And again, this is a higher level version of the interview. So you don't do this when you're first beginning, and you don't do this with cold referral sources. You do this with warm relationships. And this bridge is to additional referral sources that people that can be added to my network. And so what I might say is, Sean, you know, the one thing that I do want to do is I want to work with more people like you. And I want to work with other attorneys that could be, that we could work together and send referrals back and forth. Who do you think I should be talking to? Who are the attorneys in our network that you think I should be talking to? Now, you can use this for any other referral source, any other category of referral source. But let's imagine I just asked for referral sources. And Sean and I can brainstorm. And this is a delicate conversation. The last thing you want to sound like is an insurance salesperson trying to get another referral source or another person. No, this is much more intimate. You have the relationship. And if Sean was a really good friend, I'd say, Sean, who should I be talking to? Who else? And Sean will be wanting to help me. The thing that I think I'd like you to remember about your referral sources, the vast majority of them truly want to help you. We just don't give them any tools. We don't make requests. We don't educate them. And the interview is really a good chance to do all of that. So that's what I would do, Sean. Those are the three bridges.
Okay, and I just want to point out that Form 8.03 in the Quick Start Kit contains an influencer introduction script that you can take a look at and read.
Yeah, by the way, sometimes you'll hear us use the word influencer, and it's the same thing as a referral source. It's just we use the same word for it sometimes.
Okay.
Interchangeable.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, a lot of large law firms have these sort of institutionalized feedback loops. They do a lot of surveying,
yep,
and they try to stay in touch with their client base in spite of the fact that they're large. Can a small or mid-sized firm conduct a version of this interview but do it with clients?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been talking mostly about referral sources other than clients, and I think clients are some of our biggest referral sources. And one of the things that, whether it's a solo or a small firm, what we want to do is learn to add on a exit interview, especially with some of our better clients that have an opportunity to send referrals. And, one of the things that I would do, you know, by the way, Sean, you know how we usually get feedback from our clients is we just wait for complaints. And we use those complaints to really determine how the client perceives our services. And this is a very ad hoc approach and a very poor reactive approach. What we want to do is actually solicit them, not waiting for them, because sometimes they won't, And if they're there, we want to clean them up. If they're compliments, we want to take and work with them. So one of my suggestions would be to do a exit interview with not every client, but appropriately as many as you can and the important ones at the conclusion of a matter. And you could do this by, at the end of it, taking them out to lunch, inviting them for a quick breakfast, or taking them to dinner, depending on the quality of that client, the importance of that client. And you could even do the conversation in your office, but either way, just set it up. And if what we'd like to do is just talk to them about how they perceived our service, how was the staff accessible to them, were we responsive, did they feel taken care of by our team? And those are general questions that you can ask. And by the way, even if you had some good ones, I'm a big fan of setting up an advisory board made up of referral sources and clients that can help you develop your client care and referral care over time. And so you could imagine that you invite them to be an informal part of an advisory board for you, and it allows you to stay in touch with them on a regular basis to get feedback. But either way, you'd ask a series of questions, and again, you'd acknowledge them, collect information, and again, with these clients, always end with reminding them that referrals are important, that you build your practice based on referrals off of people like them, and that you hope they're able to help you with referrals in the future. So those are some of the things I would do, Sean.
Okay, and in asset number 19, we'll talk more about the exit survey.
Okay.
In case anyone needs more information. And so back to interview and referral sources. How often do you recommend doing the interview with a referral source? I mean, with some referral sources, they'll send business to you for, 10 years, 20 years, the lifetime of your practice sometimes.
Yeah. I would do them, number one, I would go back and look at my referral source list and see who hasn't sent me referrals in a while. Those are the first ones I've sort of set up. So let me address two things. One is how I'd get started with this and how often I'd do it. The simple answer is I would be doing most of them that I could immediately, and then I'd be doing it probably about once a year for those people that are going to be around a while. I don't think you need to do this kind. It doesn't mean I'm not having contact, other types of, not just social contact, playing golf with them or tennis or sailing or going to lunch or breakfast, talking about other stuff. But I do the interview once a year probably, just sort of as a check-in and telling them they're part of my advisory board for referrals, something like that. But how I would get started with this, Sean, is I would look at people in my, I'd go look at my referral list and see who hasn't been sending, who was sending referrals and hasn't been sending it for a while, of those which are the warmest of the leads. And then I'd invite them out to lunch or breakfast or dinner, I don't care what it is, and I'd go through the script, acknowledge them, state my purpose, make sure that I ask those questions that you and I mocked up about their frustrations in sending referrals and what they've been dealing with. And then I would listen very carefully. And then I would acknowledge them again. And if I'm very brave, I would bridge it into other opportunities. So, again, start with my warmer leads, and those are the things I would do to get started, John.
Tell us one more time how we can officially claim this as an asset.
So to officially claim this, they would actually want to write out a script for the interview. So asking the questions, what are your frustrations? What are your frustrations with sending referrals to other attorneys? What are your frustrations with sending them to me or my firm? Get those things written out so that you feel comfortable, and then practice. To claim this as an asset, you will have to have done 10 interviews, and then you can officially claim this as an asset. Now, I'm going to make one other prediction, Sean.
Yeah.
If those of you listening to the segment go out and do those 10 interviews, and I would do it over the next 45 days, quite honestly, just to make sure that I get this down, you're going to get a referral source. Excuse me, you're going to get a referral to your practice. If you do 10 interviews and you never even ask for a referral during that interview, you're going to get one, because people are going to see you and say, oh, Sean, I'm so glad that I ran into you. because my brother-in-law, my sister, something happened to somebody, or I have something and they're going to refer something, or they're going to introduce you to another referral source because they actually want to help you, and this gives them a reason to do it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it increases the top-of-mind awareness, which we constantly speak about because it's such an important part of the rainmaking process. So thank you, Mark, for discussing asset number 8, the interview. It's a very powerful strategic conversation, and I think everyone will be pleasantly surprised by how much rapport they can build, by how much information they can gather, and by how much their referrals pick up once they start doing the interview. So as always, we are Sean McNallis and Mark Powers, co-founders of Atticus, and we're dedicated to helping you grow your practice. Thanks for joining us.